KBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang. A headline tells the story. China's currency could create risk for financial system, according to the IMF. Lead paragraph. China's currency stands to, quote, be more predominant in international transactions, end quote, in the years to come, according to the International Monetary Fund, raising potential risks for global markets. The quote from the IMF financial counselor, Tobias Adrian. It is about the regulation and the plumbing of the financial system. To the extent that institutions are well regulated and are well governed, you know, financial stability risks should be contained. We welcome Charles Ortel, Charles of On the Money with Charles Ortel, who's been traveling. And so, Charles, welcome home. IMF suddenly realizes there's risks in China. Is this fresh news, or is this something that's just current and we'll forget about it? We know about the military risks. We know about the human rights risks. What about the currency risks? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening, John, and hi, Gordon. Well, I think we're on with one of the world's living experts on China, who has been pointing out the risks there for decades. Certainly, China is not regulated properly. Certainly, it's not a safe place for foreign investors. And by these new agreements around the world with Russia, with Brazil, with Iran, and other countries, where these countries are agreeing to sell their products to China in exchange for receiving their currency, you're creating demand for their currency and reducing demand for the dollar. Say what you want about the U.S., it makes a pretense of regulating its companies, whereas in China, they don't. So now you sold some oil to China, you've got the Chinese currency. What do you do with it? I mean, why would you invest in China today? I don't think there's a very strong reason for doing that. I think this is creating enormous risk.
The IMF saying that the currency stands to be more predominant in international transactions. That's a polite way of saying something. What are they getting at? That China is dominating international markets now?
Well, it certainly isn't dominating international markets now, because you've got to consider two things. You've got to consider the annual stock or the year-end stock of dollars and yuan around the world. The stock of dollars is enormous. The flow per year, the annual purchase and sale of currencies, yes, it's an increasing share of the total, but in no way is it a dominant share yet of the total stock of international currency. And moreover, it's not, as I say, it's not a transparent place where if you are a non-Chinese person and you're thinking about putting money inside another country, do you really believe you can get that money out safely? If so, you need to speak to Mark Mobius, the famed investor who was just told he couldn't take his money out of China, having kept it there for decades.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, for China to have a global reserve currency, there's got to be a lot of renminbi outside China. Now, the way that you get your currency outside China primarily are capital account and current account deficits. China doesn't want to run those deficits. So it would seem to me that it's taking them a long time to be able to achieve anything close to reserve currency status for the renminbi.
I totally agree. And indeed, what you're seeing now is governments around the world are beggaring their neighbors. That is to say, they're all cheapening their currencies. And really, another piece that needs to be folded into the equation is who is buying gold? Who is brave enough to buy cryptocurrency? But fiat currencies today and the threat of these central bank controlled digital currencies are very, very dangerous. So there's some big there's shifts in the tectonic plates underlying the global financial system now, and they don't augur well for the standard investor.
Before the pandemic, China was seen as a growth business for investors from outside of China. The Chinese stock market got much attention each day, especially when it sold off and then suddenly government buyers came in and buoyed the market. And then recently I read an article, perhaps it was a China Bull, I don't remember the provenance, saying that it was safe to start to invest in China again, that the worst is behind us, the COVID zero is over with and people are working and you need to be where growth is and the market is too big. Is that accurate, Charles, or is there still hesitation? Or let me put it this way. Has the adversarial nature of China over these last years of the pandemic, has that discouraged investors to return to China?
Well, I think you have to be a very brave soul indeed to put money in China, because, and really in almost any country that doesn't encourage the reporting companies on the public stock exchanges to provide robust financial disclosures. The key question in China is how much money is a given Chinese company making inside that economy, and how much money is it making or losing outside the economy? And I think if you had the kind of accounting we aspire to have in the U.S. and Europe on Chinese companies, you would discover that they're really not generating much cash. In fact, they're probably hemorrhaging cash flow under a theory that they can build the businesses. And that is not something that I would invest in 2023, as we seem to be standing on the edge of World War III.
Gordon, you have a question.
Charles, 2 weeks ago, Beijing detained the employees of U.S. due diligence firm Mintz Group. And that seems to me to say a number of things to the global financial community. One of them is that Beijing is absolutely determined that we not learn what's going on there, which I think feeds into what you were just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I draw a distinction between investing and speculating. So in investing, you really need to know what you own. You need to have confidence that the numbers that are going to be presented are defensible. For decades, people invested unwisely in GE. That's a story that we talked about in the past. So it's not just a Chinese problem. Speculation, on the other hand, go to the Hong Kong races. It's a lot of fun. But don't regard your winnings as sign of your investing acumen. Just have a good laugh and a meal and watch the horses run. That's what you're doing when you're investing in mainland China, in my opinion.
In the recovery, Charles, China needs investors from outside. Is that correct? Can they recover without that investment class?
No, they of course need, they must have investment from outside, particularly if they continue down this path of believing that they can expand militarily around the world and shoulder the vast obligations that come, not only with supporting the foreign bases and ports, but with supporting a Navy capable of interceding around the world. So yeah, they need foreign investors. All big nations do.
Gordon?
So Charles, it seems like China has a really bad case of imperial overstretch, to borrow the phrase from the Yale's Paul Kennedy. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right that Beijing needs this money, but it's doing a lot of things to discourage people from actually putting their funds into China. So I just don't see how this works out for Beijing. Do you?
I don't think it does either. You know, I don't particularly like the not so dearly departed Jack Welch, but of GE. But one of his great points and great management skills was to encourage people to tell him early about problems. That seems to be a way of living that the Chinese and indeed many in North Asia don't believe in doing. They hide problems. We hide them too. But if you're going to try to really grow and be the world's preeminent financial, military, political power, you better admit early on your mistakes and you better learn from them. And I don't see them doing that.
Europe, is Europe of the same mind, Charles? We have 30 seconds. That China is not a safe environment to invest in?
Europe is like our Articles of Confederation period in the United States. They created this European Union. It's only creating more bureaucracy, more expense, and it's not going to ever live out to its potential.
Charles Ortel of Charles Ortel on the Money. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.